what it's turning into, the purpose of our study, is to grasp the mind of Paul, which was given the mystery of God. And that's our purpose in this study, is to try to get our minds to think like his mind, to try to grasp what is the mystery. We're going to see some things this morning, and I really pray that I can communicate what I sensed and God in my spirit this morning as I was preparing. And I want you to pray for me that I can be able to do that. So let's pray. Father God, we praise you. Lord Jesus, we worship you. You're Lord of the universe. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. Without you, we can do nothing. Without your presence, Holy Spirit, without you leading us and guiding us into all truth, we're just making noises. We want your anointing. We want your anointing and your unction. First of all, Lord, I ask you to bring that spirit of anointing upon me, that the things that I speak will be truth and will be life. And then, Lord, I pray that anointing will be on the hearers, so that, Lord, we won't be hearers of the word only, but doers of that same word. Specifically, Lord, today I ask that we become doers of what you're going to show us. Lord, I ask you today that you'll deal with our hearts. Judah has gone first and plowed. Our hearts are now prepared for the word of God according to your word. Judah has gone forth. Now, Lord, it's time to come forth into the soil and plant seed. And Lord, in the sound of my hearing, there are four types of soil. There is stony soil, soil that cannot receive this word, that immediately the fowls of the air is going to come and remove it. But Lord, there's also other soils, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Lord, there are these other soils, Lord, that I want to receive this seed today. And Lord, that it can produce fruit. And you said you chose us that we would produce fruit that would remain. Let us grasp today what the truth is of the passage which we'll be looking at, and that it will change our lives accordingly. Help us today, Lord. Communicate your truth. And I ask these in the name of Jesus. And you said if I would do anything in your name, ask anything in your name, that you do it. And I ask, Lord, for communication in the name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. Amen. I'm convinced today that we do not understand what Jesus has done for us. Although many of us have been in church, quote unquote, from the time we were infants, I'm still convinced we have not yet come to grasp what the Lord has done for us. Something sparked in me this morning, and it sparked something new, and I desperately want to communicate this morning. In Ephesians, the third chapter, which has sort of become our text as we have gone about this study, the third chapter and beginning at verse 8, I want to read verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. This is just kind of a text that we have assumed as we have begun to look into this book. Verse 8, he says, to me, this is Paul, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given. And then we'll see two things that was given for him to do. One, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. And two, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Paul was given two jobs to do. One was to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. That's what I'm trying to communicate this morning. We have not yet grasped all he has done for us, because we have not been preached and taught the mystery. We hear about salvation. We hear about water baptism. And if you're in Pentecostal churches, you hear about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But how many has ever really been taught about the mystery? Huh? You see, we've missed so much of what is in here, and we get pigeonholed in a doctrine and a belief and we cut out and shut off everything else, and we are so limited in our understanding of the unfathomable riches of Christ. He's given those two jobs to do. And he says, if I do those things, verse 10, in order that the manifold wisdom of God may now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. If the grace of God, the influence of God is preached, and the unfathomable riches of Christ is preached, and then that's number one, and then the manifold wisdom, and number two, that this will bring understanding to the administration of the mystery. If those two things are preached, then what that will end up doing is releasing the manifold wisdom of God. Now, what will this manifold wisdom of God come through? The church. Now, listen to me. The church is in God's purpose. And if you don't love the church, things probably are not going well with you. He says, all things work together for good to them that are the called according to His purpose. Now, if you don't love the church, it's a good chance that things are not going well with you. You may know about the church, may have your ideas about church, but if you don't love the church, things are probably not going well with you, because that's His purpose. He gave Himself for it. Now, He loves His church. Now, I'm not talking about this building. You understand that the church is not a building. The church is not a denomination. We understand that, don't we? Okay? The church is an organism. It's a live entity. It's made up of many members. You and me, we are a part of the body of Christ. That's the church. People tickle me. They want to go to church and be holy and stand in awe and reverence, but they go outside and raise hell. Do you hear me? People, listen. You don't leave Him here. He goes with you wherever that you are, because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And He dwells in you. You are the habitation of God. And you can't fool Him. Don't come here and be holy and go out there and be hellious. We are the church. The church is a people. The church is a person. And it's His name is Christ. The head is Jesus. Now, He's working His purpose through His church. And this church that He is going to reveal His wisdom to will do something. It will reveal the manifold wisdom of God to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. There will be a people that can think like God thinks. There will be a people that can reveal God's way of thinking. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, and you'll see more about what I'm saying here. I'm not getting into that. Verse 11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose, which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ Jesus and the eternal purpose that He carried out was the church. And if we don't love the church, folks, we're missing what God is doing. The church is the very entity of God Himself. I would say that, Pastor Tebow, but it might sound bad. I'll say that you said it. Pastor Tebow said, if you don't love the church, you don't love Jesus. Okay. Now, I just need to stay here a second, I suppose. You have a strange asphyxiation of what Jesus is. He doesn't only have a head, He has a body. Okay? And you just can't worship Him and not be a part of His body. That's not the way it works. It's just not the way it works. That's not scripturally correct. It may be correct in your thinking, but it's not the way it's scripturally correct in the Word of God. The head can't say to the foot, I have no need of thee. The eye to the ear, I have no need of thee. You see, we need each other. And what you'll find is if you're alienated from the church, what you'll find is when you're hurting, nobody will come to you because they don't know you. But if you're in the church and you're hurting, then the rest of the body will immediately. What happens? You stump your toe. What happens? Your whole body goes for that toe. And like I've told you before, if you could get it in your mouth, you'd kiss it because it's hurting. But it matters on whose body it's on. Do you see what I'm saying? If you stump your toe, it's on your body. It doesn't hurt me as badly. But whose body is it on in the church? It's on the body of Christ, folks. Jesus is hurting when one of us hurts. And the whole body is to go to that member that's hurting. But if you're alienated from the church, you can hurt. Nobody ever know it. I got to go. I got to move on. That's not what I'm after here this morning. Okay. We see then that I want to know this mystery. The purpose of this study is that we can come into a revelation of the mystery, grasp more about the mystery and the unfathomable riches of Christ. Mystery, Greek word mysterion. It means a secret that has not been revealed, or a secret kept secret because it has not been revealed. You cannot understand this mystery unless God breaks silence and tells you. Do you hear me? You can be in church and not hear the mystery. God has to break silence and communicate to you His mystery, His mysterion. And that's what the Lord is wanting to do today. I'm convinced with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is wanting to break silence with us today and reveal unto us the mystery about His kingdom, the mystery about His glory, the mystery about things such as predestination that have been conflictual, the things about eternal security that has been conflictual, walls and barriers that have divided the body of Christ rather than uniting the body of Christ. I am convinced with all of my heart that Jesus Christ today wants to bring those things down and bring His body together so that He can present unto Himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Hallelujah. That's what He wants to do. And if we'll open our ears and stop interpreting the Word of God through our eyes and our ears and our touch and our smell and our taste and allow the Spirit of God to reveal it to us, the mysterion of Jesus Christ, we'll come together in a unity of faith. Now, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 is my thrust this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us, say He chose us. Just as He chose us in Him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and blameless before Him. Period. Before Him. Period. In love, He predestinated us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Now, I want to go through this. The title of my message is Predestined to the Praise of the Glory of His Grace. Those are basically terms that fly right over our heads. Predestined. We don't understand predestination. We barely are understanding grace. We have it confused with mercy. But we are predestined, and the purpose and the reason that we're predestined is to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now, first thing we have to see here is that He chose us in Him. Now, I don't want to elaborate on this. He chose us in Him. He chose us in Him. Now, in the mind of the Apostle Paul, who did the choosing? Talk to me. Okay, dialogue. Let's communicate a little bit. You have to understand that God in the New Testament, which means deity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have to understand that deity chose us in Him before the foundations of the world. Now, deity chose us. In the mind of the Apostle Paul, God chose him. Now, let's go back and see why Apostle Paul would think this. He was on the road to Damascus one day. Remember the story? Acts chapter 9. He was persecuting the church. He brought such fear with him that people were afraid. And Apostle Paul was on the way to Damascus. Now, did he stop on the road to Damascus and fall and say, Lord, I want to choose you today? Do I have the story messed up a little bit? How did Paul get chosen? Get it now? See, this is the way the Apostle Paul saw salvation. We've got to see it like he sees it. He didn't wake up one morning and say, well, today I'm going to become a Christian. Bang. God says, I want you. And all of a sudden, that life that was religious became born again. Okay? But he couldn't see because God blinded him. And that's the first thing he'll always do when you start getting born again, is he'll blind you. Because everything that you've always saw in the past, he wants you to see something brand new and fresh. So what the Apostle Paul saw was God choosing him. And he told Ananias in Acts chapter 9, and I think that I've written that here. Acts chapter 9, verse 15, he says to Ananias, who he had told to go to Paul, he says, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. He's a chosen instrument of mine. I want you to know that you're a chosen instrument of God. Do you understand that? That he chose you. Now, John 14, Jesus talking to his disciples says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. So we have to understand that in the mind of the Apostle Paul, God does the choosing. So he says, you're chosen in him. He chose us in him. Scripture clearly shows that he chooses us. Now, when did this choosing take place? Oh, listen, you think you've been saved since, I think I was saved since 1978, okay? But you know how long I've been saved? Whew. Help me, Lord, communicate this. Oh, he chose me. He chose you. He chose us before the foundations of the world. He chose us in him before the foundations of the world. Now, what the Apostle Paul, and I'm going ahead and kind of spill it out here, and then I'll more develop it. But what the Apostle Paul is doing here in these terms of chosen us, in terms like predestined, in these kinds of terms ordained, glorified, in these types of terms, when you run across them in the Scriptures, and we're going to look at some of them in just a minute, but when you run across them in the Scriptures, what he's doing is he's totally taking your works out of it. He's wanting you to know you had nothing to do with your salvation, folks.
Amen.
You're saved by grace, and that's not of your self. It's of God, lest any man should boast. See, God, in this passage that we've just read, is totally removing you from ever thinking that you chose God. And if I can communicate this today, let me tell you what it's going to do to you. You'll have such a praise in you because you're suddenly going to realize, for some unknown reason, it's a mystery. For some unknown reason, God says, I want you. And you didn't do a thing to earn it. Well, it wasn't because you could play the guitar a little bit. Linda, it wasn't because you could play the piano. Ted, it wasn't because you could be a great doctor. He chose you and you had nothing to do with it.
Amen.
He took you totally out of the picture. And he wants you to understand that he did it. Him and only him got your salvation. Now, if he didn't do this for you, where would you be or where would you end up at? Hell. And if that don't put a praise in your heart, won't nothing, folks. If that don't spark a light in you, and if that don't make you want to praise him, let me tell you something. You're dead. I'm not going to hell. You know why? Because I was predestined from the foundations of the earth. I was chosen in him. I was planned to serve him and worship him according to his purpose. God totally took me out of the picture. Now, when I give my testimony, I tell people, well, the Lord had me under conviction. I woke up one morning, I was laying there with my wife, and I said, honey, let's go to church this morning. And we went through all this rigmarole about finding clothes that we could wear because all her dresses were this short. And we talked about all that. But let me tell you something, folks. I didn't wake up one morning and decide that I was going to be a Christian. What happened was, that was the morning I was supposed to step forward and declare my faith in him. Right. I was on the donkey. And believe me, I had been on the donkey. This boy knows about the donkey, folks. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because if you can hear this, all of a sudden, it'll spark something in you. It'll change the way you think. I'm convinced that every one of us at some time or the other has come to the conclusion that we chose Him. Folks, we didn't choose Him. He chose us. You had absolutely nothing to do with it. It happened before you were conceived in your mama's womb. Let me tell you that. It happened before this earth was formed. It happened before the first star was flung into the heavens. It happened, Lord people, before the foundations of this world.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Glory to God.
And I'll put a praise in you, folks. I'll tell you something. You are what you are by the grace of God.
Amen.
It's not because you woke up one day and said, I'm going to be a Christian. I want to live better. Woo! Help me, Lord. I want them shouting, Father. I want them shouting this morning. I want them shouting according to the praises of your glory. Listen, this ought to get you shouting, folks. When you finally come to the conclusion that for some unknown reason, He chose you. You had nothing to do with it. It'll change your thinking. It'll totally change your thinking. Now, I gotta touch this. I just looked at Willis and it reminded me that I need to touch this. Ultra predestination or ultra Calvinism, same thing. Means that we become robots. And God wiggles us and turns us and pulls our little strings. You know what I'm saying? Okay? When you get into predestination, you got to guard this thought. See, it is predestined that you come, but not predestined how you walk. You're predestined to come in, but you determine the walk that you walk. Show you. Now, is Paul talking to Christians that what we've just read in verses 3 through 6 that we've just read, which talks about the choosing and the predestination, is he talking about Christians here? Okay. Look over in chapter 4 and verse 1. And he's talked about predestination and he's talked about the choosing. And then in 4 and 1, therefore, he finishes his first section of this epistle. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 divides the first half, and 4, 5, and 6 is the second half. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that mathematical astounding? But it naturally divides right here. And then Apostle Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to what? Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Now, are you hearing what I'm saying? He chose you, but you choose your walk. I'm not a robot. I can sin right now. But there's another spirit that works in me. There's another law that works in my members. And it's the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus now. I didn't have that law and that spirit before. That's what the born again experience happens in when you start wanting, not because it's unlawful to sin, but because I just don't want to sin anymore. There's another principle in me. So I determine my walk. I am what I am by the grace of God. In other words, grace meaning influence, power of God's influence in my life. Paul says, I am what I am because of the grace of God. In other words, by the amount of grace, the influence that he allowed of God in his life, he became a great apostle. I can become a good as man of God as I will allow God's influence in my life to become. Now, we're going to see in just a second that all this is included into the thought of becoming blameless. God is going to have a people that are blameless.
Amen.
Now, this is all this is inclusive in his thought. This is all put together. Now, he chose me. That's obvious. Are we predestined?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures in just a second just to work that into us that we are predestined, and I'm just kind of giving an overview. All right, we are predestined. All right, now then, we're predestined then to become blameless. Now, I am chosen because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the blood of Christ was given for two purposes. One, for the forgiveness of, the word is remission, but the word remission has two thoughts in it, forgiveness and freedom from. I don't have to sin anymore, people. You have to understand that the blood of Jesus makes me powerful enough that sin no longer hath dominion over me. I can become blameless. How many believe I can become blameless? How many believe you can become blameless? Why do you sin? The only reason you sin is because you want to sin. You now determine what you do. and you walk in sin, or you walk in light. Walk worthy, therefore, of the calling with which you have. Now, let's see if all that I've just projected and thrown at you is biblically correct. First of all, let's look at this thought of predestined. We need to understand that we are predestined, that He chose us, that we didn't choose Him, and that this choosing took place before the foundations of the earth. Now, I want to go through some of these thoughts here on predestined, because if you understand the choosing, then you can understand the predestination. Now, let's look at some. Look at Romans 8:29. Now, please turn with me and look at these, please. We've got to get this in us. Romans 8:29. The first use of this word predestined is actually found in the book of Acts. This word is used about six times in the New Testament Greek, and the first time that it's used is in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 28. Write that down, because you may need to look at it later, and I'm going to tell you what it says, but we're going to look right here in Romans 8. But the word predestined means before horizon determined. Before, and then the word in the Greek means horizon, it was determined. In other words, before there was ever a sun, it was determined. Are you here?
Yeah.
Before there was ever a sun, it was determined. That's when this all happened. Before horizon determined. Acts chapter 4 and verse 28 says this. It's talking there about Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel. And these people, Herod, Pontius Pilate, Gentiles, and the people of Israel, did what God's hand and God's purpose predestined. How big is God? He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Omniscient meaning He knows everything. He plans everything. He used Herod. He used Pontius Pilate. He used the Gentiles. And He used the nation of Israel to crucify the Lord of glory according to His purpose as He had predestined. Now, Delbert, do you understand that? Of course not. I'm trying to. And as the Spirit renews my mind, I'm getting more of it. But there it is, Acts 4:28. Read it for yourself. Before there was an horizon, God purposed Herod. God purposed Pontius Pilate. God purposed Israel. And God purposed the Gentiles to crucify Jesus Christ. Slain before the foundations of the world. Here in Romans, the second use we find, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know, or we should know, that God causes all things to work together for good. Now, we stop there a lot of times, don't we? We just stop quoting that scripture. We really need to get the rest of the scripture. Because it is conditional. Things are working good for you. All things are working good for you if you love God. Is that right? Is that what it says? To those who love God, that's number one. And number two, to those who are called according to His purpose. If you're walking according to His purpose that He has purposed you in, which we're going to read in the next verse, then things should be working well for you. All things. God taking the crazy things that happened in your life and turning them around to make something glorious and good out of them. If, number one, you love God, and number two, you're walking in His purpose. Am I scripturally correct now?
Yeah.
Be with me, okay? Don't let me get deceived. All right, then verse 28, and verse 29, for whom He foreknew, He also what? Predestined to what? Well, we didn't get that. You see, he said, that's why I know why we don't praise God. We have never grasped the purpose of our salvation. We've never grasped all that He's done for us. We've never grasped the unfathomable riches of Christ. And we finally grasped this thought, folks. First of all, you had nothing to do with it, but He chose you. And the purpose for your choosing was to be conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. You can't help but praise Him. Something happens inside of you that you want to leap and dance with all of your might. Something happens inside of you that you want to run and dance. You see, you're still thinking, and I'm still thinking, that I had something to do with it. Folks, we had nothing to do with it. In the mind of the Apostle Paul, he knew he had nothing to do with it, and he was able to preach it. He had no intention of becoming a Christian. You see? And when this is birthed in us, if I can communicate this thought to us this morning, folks, it's going to change our praise services. It's going to change the way that we worship and praise Him. Because all of a sudden, we're going to find out. It's not because we have to. It should be because we want to. Because He's worthy of our praises. Simply because He is conforming us and changing us into an image, which is what? Now, am I scriptural, folks? Now, you got to hear me. You know what? I'm mostly blasphemous to a lot of preachers because I say such stupid things as this. I want us to understand, are you predestined? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Yes, we've got that. Are you chosen?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Then what are you purposed, predestined, and chosen for? Listen, folks. It is to become like Christ Himself. Not individually, but as a many-membered man. Now, you got to hear that part. I am not Jesus walking around on the earth. I'm a part of Jesus walking around on the earth.
Amen.
Help me, Lord. He's the head. I can't never take that. He is preeminent. He is the head. He is the boss. He is the king. He is the Lord. And I see Him in that dimension. But I also see something else. I see you and I and the church as a part and attached to Him.
Amen.
He has chosen to do it. We didn't choose Him. He chose to do it, folk.
Amen.
He has eternally attached Himself to you and to me.
Amen.
Now let's read it again. Verse 29. For whom He foreknew, is He omniscient? Does He all know?
Yes.
All right, He's omniscient. He foreknew you before you were born. He foreknew you before you were conceived. He foreknew you from the foundations of the world. We just saw that. For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated. And the purpose that He, before horizon determined, was for you to become what? Conformed to the image of His Son. Listen, I can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 27, chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, and show you that the original intent of God when He created man was to create man in what? His own image. It has never changed. It will never change. You'll be here until we overcome the devil, until we overcome every obstacle and present unto Him a kingdom which He can offer to God. Now that's how long it's going to take. That's why man was put here, was to subdue. And the serpent still wiggles up to us. That's what Eve should have done. Eve should have went, boom! And that's what you and I should do. Because we don't have to sin. Whoa. You see, it's all in His plan. It's all in His foreknowledge. Become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now let me tell you what God wants. God wants a nation of people that's like His Son. He wants a whole race of people like the Son. And whom He what? Predestined. These He also called. And whom He what? Called. He done it. Do you see who's doing it? Do you see? He did it. People don't get mad at me if somebody that you love, I can't get them saved. Please don't get me. I can't help it. I wished I could. God knows if I could, I'd save everybody. He does it. He does it His way, not my way. It works when He does it. Do you know I've got some people saved?
3 weeks, 2 months.
Right. Some will sit here a couple of days. Oh, Joe comes in, we get him saved, we get him wet, we sit him back down, maybe get him talking in tongues, you know. He's here a little while. What happened to old Joe? I don't know. See? You can learn to talk in tongues, people. He does it. He predestined, He called, He justified, and He's going to glorify. Are we seeing this thing? Are we see the mind of Paul is that he's just taking you and I a slap out of it, folks. We had nothing to do with it. He just said, I want you. Now, I don't understand it, folks, and it grieves me to a point because it does. Is God sovereign? This is all we're talking about is the sovereignty of God. He does it. And it grieves your heart to a point when you believe that we serve a God that might choose one and not choose another. I don't understand that, folks. I just don't understand it.
Glory.
Proverbs 16. Some of you aren't with me. Some of you don't see this. You see, we get ourselves out of the picture and see Him as who He really is. It's going to change the way you worship and praise Him. I want you to understand. I don't understand it. I just want you to understand that He is sovereign.
Yeah.
Does He make vessels to honor and vessels for...
Right.
Now, what does a vessel do? It contains something, right? That's His purpose. A vessel is something you put something in. You read that passage there in Romans chapter 9. And you'll find out that to some things has been put in to bring Him glory. Which will bring out the good judgment on people. But other vessels have been deposited in them the things of God's wrath, which will bring forth the wrath of God on people. You store up in yourself, in your vessel, the judgment that you will reap. You're a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. Came to the potter, say to the clay, you can't do this to me. Folks, I'm not trying to say I understand it, because I don't. I just know He's God. I understand that. Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord has made what?
Everything.
What has the Lord made?
Everything.
Everything. For its own purpose. Even the what? Wicked for the day of evil. Talking about something messing up your theology. I'm just telling you. I'm just showing you what the Bible says, okay? Can I do that? That's what I'm here for, okay? Just to try to help us grasp some understanding here. You got to understand, if I can quicken this in your heart, get you convinced that you had nothing to do with the choosing, and you can't stay in this without God. I want you to understand that. Without His grace, without His mercy in your life, I want you to understand, you can't continue to walk in a church like this. Okay? Because God just continuously causes you to be here. Now, if you're not saved, you would have been gone a long time ago. This is the word. This is the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, folks.
Right.
Your life is changing. You may look into the mirror and you may not see a great deal of change, but we all see changes in each other. I'm changing.
Yeah.
The gospel of the kingdom is to change us. So if you're concerning whether you're saved or not, I want you to know you're saved, okay? The same wind that blows does two things. The wind will blow on your life, and it's like the Spirit in John 3. It'll blow you where it needs you to go, and it'll you know, do you see what I'm saying? But the same wind comes along and blows away the chaff. The same Spirit that saves you is the same Spirit that moves unbelievers. I'm back in Ephesians, and I need to get out of this negative thought and try to climax this thing with a positive thought. I want us to know the reason you were chosen was to become holy and blameless. The word blameless is used 8 times in the New Testament Greek. Look in Ephesians 3, or 1, Ephesians 1. Where is it? Verse 4. Let's go through this again. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, we've gotten that we what? Should be what? Holy and blameless. Now listen, you've heard me tell the story before. Folks, I've sat at tables and with people that's taken me to lunch and debated with me that they had to sin a little bit every day. No, you don't. What was good of the blood of Jesus Christ then? What the blood has done is moved you from your sin, John 1:8, 1 John 1:8. Your sin wasn't moved, you moved. It washed you away from your sin. Now, what we've got, I want us to see that we are to become holy and blameless. Is that what He says here? Now, He wants a holy nation. 1 Peter 2. I want us to understand, we are not only, I'll say it that way, we are not first and foremost citizens of the United States of America. You need to understand that you are the commonwealth of heaven. Okay? The reason that you are is because you're of the commonwealth of heaven. You are a citizen of heaven. Now, that's the first and foremost calling. And the reason is because this one's coming down. The United States of America is coming down. Now, I'm not a gloom and doomer, you know that. But there's only going to be one kingdom, folks. There's only going to be one capital, and it's the New Jerusalem. Okay? It's not going to be Washington. It's not going to be Moscow. It's going to be the New Jerusalem, the Jerusalem which is above. All right, 1 Peter. We are a nation. 1 Peter 2 and 9. But you are what? A chosen what? Some say generation. What does somebody else say?
People.
Some say what else? Race. You're a chosen generation, a chosen people, and a chosen race. It means all that. You got to understand, you are a race of people that's never before existed on this earth. Do you know why? It's because we don't have to sin. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now look, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies, King James says, praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are what? The people of God. You had not mercy, but now you have received mercy. We're a nation of people. Our commonwealth is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And it doesn't mean we got to die to get it. We are right now in heavenly places. Chapter 2, verse 6 of Ephesians, and I'm back in Ephesians. All right, I want us to see that the purpose is to become holy and blameless. And Ephesians 5, as you're going back to Ephesians, let's get it. Because here in all of this, but I'll quote it to you. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. How perfect are you supposed to be? In His image. In His likeness. Did Jesus say that? Delbert didn't. So I'm just quoting the Lord. We've got to understand, folks, that our purpose is to become like Jesus Christ. Not individually, but the church. Now, Ephesians 5, verse 26. 25. We've got to start the first sentence. 25. Husbands, love your wives. All the wives said. Husbands, love your wives just as, this is how you're supposed to love her, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. That He might what? Sanctify her, having what? Cleansed her by what? Washing of the water with the Word. The Word cleanses you. Verse 27, that He might, and it's not a might, that's a positive might, that is an imperative might, that He will present what? To Himself, the church, in all her what? Glory, having what? No spot or no wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be what? Holy and blameless. I want you to know there is going to be a church that is holy and blameless. A church that has moved into maturity and is holy and blameless. And He will not come again until there is such a church that is, say it, holy and blameless. That's what He will present unto Himself.
Right, amen.
Not a feeble, weak, dirty little girl, but a matured woman. With all the attributes of a woman, the body who is perfected,
praise God,
stands, holds her head high, declares His glory. That's what He's coming after. And mark my words, He will not come. He will not come until there is such a bride on this earth.
Amen.
All right. Are we seeing something? All right. Now, this is in the mind of Paul. All this is in here. You see why it's taking so long to get through this? All this is in Paul's mind. He's chosen us from the foundations of the earth. He predestined us for the purpose to be conformed to His image so that we would be holy and without blame, a church that would be blameless, a church that would be putting Satan under her foot. That's what we're chosen for. Now, why and for what purpose then is all this to be? Look with me, and I'm closing verse 6. Ephesians 1. I guess it does get confusing after a little bit. All right, Ephesians 1, verse 5. Reading into it. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. according to the kind intention of His will. Why did He do it? Because He wanted to. Wasn't a thing you had to do with it. The Living Bible, if I'm not mistaken, says because He wanted to. You didn't have anything to do with it, folks. He just did it because He wanted to do it. Because of the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Read that with me. To the praise of the glory of His grace. The reason that all this is to happen is to bring Him praise to the glory of His influence in your life. There should be a praise in you simply because you had nothing to do with this. Simply because you finally grasped. You didn't wake up one morning and decide to be a Christian. That was predetermined before the horizon. The first horizon. That was established from the foundation of the earth. You didn't have anything to do with it, folk. I didn't have anything to do with it. It's by His grace. By His sovereignty. And now there's a praise in me. Sometimes I act like a crazed person. I know visitors come in here and say, "What is wrong with that guy?" I have a praise in me. You see, He's changed my life. I don't think like I used to think. I don't do what I used to do. I don't live like I used to live. Now I live according to the praise of His glory, according to His grace. Now I live by a new king, by a new Lord. I once served the devil. I once served darkness. I once walked in the kingdom of darkness, but now I walk in another kingdom. The kingdom I walk in now is I serve Him and I worship Him. And I've suddenly realized I didn't have a thing to do with it. I was looking at this last night, and I wanted to so present it to us in such a way that we could all eat it and be palatable. But people, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. This is God. This is God's Word, and He wants you to understand you didn't have a thing to do with your choosing. He chose you. He predestined you. You didn't have nothing to do with it. And what you're supposed to do now is bring Him a praise. Bring Him a praise. When you finally grasp this thought, you'll understand when Moses and the Israelites come through the Red Sea and they got on the other side and that thing clobbed in and washed out all of Egypt and all of Pharaoh's people and there was none left. While all of a sudden Moses started praising God with a song of Moses. And while Miriam got her a tambourine and all the ladies and they began to dance and praise God. Why? Because Moses didn't have a thing to do with it. God did it. You'll understand all of a sudden why David could dance with all of his might. Why he could lift his hands and clap and jump and leap and praise God and run and shout. Why? Because he knew he didn't have a thing to do with it. God just sovereignly placed David as king of Israel. He didn't have a thing to do with it. Did David have a thing to do with being king? No. Not a thing. He sent Samuel and said, "Anoint him. He's my king." And all of a sudden, you'll understand why the Apostle Paul could say, "Well, I'll sing in the Spirit and I'll sing with my understanding also. And I'll praise Him according to His excellent greatness. And I'll lift His name on high." When you praise the Lord, He says, "Sing psalms to Him. Pray unto Him. Lift your hands without wrath nor doubt." Oh, can we understand that once we understand this truth that I'm trying to communicate to us today, that there should be a praise in us because we didn't have a thing to do with it. Not a thing to do with it. God, we didn't have a thing to do with it. You chose us. You predestined us according to Your marvelous grace.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I want to sing a song. Can we sing a song? Come on up. Lynn, I want to sing as David did in Jehovah's sight before the King of Kings. All the musicians, all the praise team, I want you to just come up. It's right here. And we'll put it on the overhead. Let's finish this thing up with praise.